The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that are left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, got into a boat, and started across the lake to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The lake became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the lake and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." They then wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. You'll have to go back, Nancy. Sorry, go back. Maybe you haven't put... Did I not put the soap and wine in there? Okay. Right. Please be seated. So I wonder how many of us have ever had the experience of getting home at dinner time and then searching through the cupboards or fridge for something to eat. Ever done that? There's lots of nodding of heads going on here, so you know what I'm talking about. It isn't that there's nothing in the house, but more that whatever's there doesn't seem to take my fancy at that particular moment. Which is when, as a single person, I can fall back on my favourite, a bowl of cereals. Hunger is an interesting phenomenon. It's a basic human urge, and satisfying it is a basic human need. A baby wakes in the crying, lets everybody know that they're hungry, or maybe their nappy need changing, but someone jumps up to do the baby's bidding, and all is quiet until the urge comes again. By the time we're adults, we're supposed to be able to limit satisfying our cravings to 3 balanced meals a day. Plus chocolate, of course, plus chocolate. At first glance, today's gospel speaks of a physical hunger, the kind that needs food. There's this large group of people who've been following Jesus on foot, and they're so eager to be near him, that they followed him to the place where he's gone to be alone with his disciples. Jesus knows they're hungry. And he wonders aloud where the food will come from. After all, there's no local takeaways there, no convenient supermarkets just around the corner. Philip, ever practical, knows that they can't possibly buy the equivalent, buy the needed food. A quick estimate on his part works out that they'd need the equivalent of about 6 months' wages or more, which is way, way beyond their resources. Then out of the blue, we're reintroduced to Andrew. Do you remember Andrew, who's Simon Peter's brother? He was the one that introduced Simon Peter to Jesus. We don't get to hear about him too often, but he is one of the inner four. You know, there's Peter, Andrew, James, and John. So Andrew's one of them, and we don't get to hear about him much. But usually, whenever we do hear about Andrew, he's doing something that's incredibly needed and practical and important. So today, he's the one, Andrew's the one, who brings this small little boy who has a lunch of barley loaves and fish. Now, we actually don't know much about the boy, the young boy, but we can make some assumptions about him from the lunch that he has. Barley, I don't know if any of you use barley in your stews and that, it does add a lovely flavour to a stew. And so it is a tasty grain which was added to bread in order to increase the fibre content or the flavour, because as I say, barley does have a nice flavour. And it also meant that the flour, which was more expensive, could be supplemented a little bit by this barley. But doing that actually then produced a coarser bread. It was a little bit coarser to eat. So it tended to only be eaten by the poorest people. The fish were also probably small ones, maybe the kind that were given away to orphans or widows. And we've got in that little stained glass window up there, we've got this particular miracle. We've got this particular miracle up in the stained glass up there with the two fish and the five loaves, if none of you have noticed before. So this kind of offering, this offering of giving to widows and orphans, which was round in Jesus' day, if you remember when they were gleaning the harvest, they would always leave some there for the widows to be able to come and get something from the harvest that was being, from the wheat that was being harvested. There was always a little bit left for the widows to be able to glean. So this kind of offering still happens within our communities, although not often with fish. When I was at Balga in the parish there, the people would give stuff away that they didn't want anymore for the op shop or food bank. And they'd drop it in the bin outside. And sometimes it was really useful. Sometimes it was a good quality product, something that they'd use themselves. At other times, it was a really odd product. It would turn up. And occasionally it may have been half used by the donor, who'd obviously decided that they didn't like it anymore. Or maybe it might have been something that had been at the back of the cupboard for a while and was now out of date, but was considered by the donor to be good enough for those in need. We see the same thing happening in our pantry outside our church. I know sometimes I leave here and I literally find myself scratching my head at some of the items which have been left, wondering how they're going to be used. Some of the things are quite strange, quite strange. Yet in the gospel passage today, we hear how the boy's offering, even though it may have been considered to be of a poor standard by some of those who were present, it was all he had. It was his whole lunch at that time and that place. And for him, it was his best. Like the widow's mite, he gave all he had. This passage highlights how the child is a leader by his offering. Yet children are not always so willing to share. Which reminds me of a lovely story about a young girl who was handing out sweets to her relatives who'd gathered in the house, in her house. And she was going around the circle all excited. I can imagine my granddaughter doing this, Ella. I really can. With her bowl of sweets, and she's going, one for you, one for you, one for you,
one for you.
And she just kept on going around the circle, giving her relatives one and one and one. And as she came closer to the end of the circle, she looked at her bowl of sweets and realized that there were not going to be enough sweets to go around. And even worse, there wouldn't be any left for her. The look on her face was absolutely priceless. Or maybe you might remember this TV ad. Let's pop the TV ad on now. That's okay. You're doing well there, Nancy.
Hey. The natural confection country jellies. You know what it means? No artificial drugs. No artificial 90% fat-free.
Chop it. Chop it. I want my half. Chop it. So funny. Such a funny ad. So with humble bread and lowly fish, Jesus feeds 5,000 hungry people in such a way that there are baskets and baskets of food left over. In fact, we're told that there were 12 baskets full of food left over. As we know, 12 was symbolically meant to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is really a parable that's talking about Jesus feeding the Jewish people and trying to get them to understand and relate to God in the way that they should have been. So the 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel. The boy sharing forms a central part of this miracle. If he hadn't been prepared to share, none of it would have been possible. This story shows us that we receive by giving, and in God we have this promise that there's always an abundance. There's always an abundance. Abundance, as we know, is one of the major themes throughout John's Gospel. In the first chapter, John speaks about Jesus as the Word of God, from whose fullness, abundance, we have all received grace upon grace. When the waters turned into wine at the wedding in Cana, Jesus instructed the servants to fill jars with water, and they filled them to the brim. And it was a miracle of abundance, producing a massive amount of great-tasting wine. When Jesus visited the Gentile village in Samaria, he spoke to a woman at the well about living water gushing up to eternal life. And in Jesus' beautiful final speech, abundance is evident again when we hear him say, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you." So abundance is there. 5 loaves, 2 fish produce more than 12 baskets full of bread and bread left over after everybody had eaten. In our rational world of science and technology, this feeding of the 5,000 may cause us to raise our eyebrows and say, "It's not possible. It didn't happen. It's not true." What I'd say is, whether it happened in this way or not, this story carries a profound meaning for all of us all these years later. What was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? Was it that Jesus multiplied the loaves and fish by mysterious means? Maybe, maybe. Was it the other people who were present were so moved by the boy's selfless gift that they opened their previously hidden lunchboxes and brought out their goodies to share with others? Perhaps. Was it a symbolic meal where people were spiritually filled? Now that is unlikely. That is unlikely. Because we hear in the gospel that they ate well and that there was food left over. So it's definitely not the last one, although they were being filled spiritually as well. Who knows? And in a way, it isn't important, because in the end, this is a passage about God's grace, love, and power. It's also a passage about how we can participate in God's great plan for humanity. We can participate by not allowing the enormity of the task at hand to overwhelm us. There's an old Chinese proverb that says a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Mother Teresa of Calcutta began her life's work with a dream. She told her superiors, "I have 3 pennies and a dream from God to build an orphanage." Sister Teresa, her superiors chided gently, "You cannot build an orphanage with 3 pennies. With 3 pennies, you can't do anything." "I know," she said, smiling, "but with God and 3 pennies, I can do anything." If the little boy had waited until he had enough food to feed 5,000 people, the people would still be waiting to eat. But because the boy acted in faith and was willing to give what he had, Jesus was able to do something miraculous with it. Because of the boy's offering, Jesus was able to perform a sign which clearly said he was the Son of God. The wonderful thing is Jesus did not ask his disciples to work alone. He also is not asking any of us to do this single-handedly. He invites us as a church, the body of Christ, to do it together. He asks each of us to use the gifts that we have and do our part, trusting that God will use what we have to offer in a way that builds up. This passage is about us having the faith and the vision to do the things that we can, and then trust the power of God will work with what we offer. Like the young boy, we're to trust Jesus can use us and our gifts to make amazing things happen. The Lord be with you.